Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Spain. Welcome to TC Live as we get you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this massive combined 1,000 level event in Madrid. A lot to discuss over the next half hour. Carlos Alcaraz begins his quest to reach a milestone in Madrid that even Rafa Nadal has never achieved. Hear from the two-time defending champion. Plus, Serena Sabalenka begins the defense of her title in La Caja Mágica. Would the two-time champ find her best level since winning in Australia? And as Jannik Sinner prepares to play his opener on Saturday, we show you how the Italian could become world number one before we get to the grass. Come on into our studios here in Santa Monica, California. It is a Hall of Fame sandwich. Honored to be in between Steve Weissman. We got Jim Courier to my left, Andy Roddick on my right, and how about the Danimal? 14 in a row, Jim.
Wow, what a match that was. What a contest. I mean, she's got the confidence, but Danilovic was impressive as well, had her chances, but somehow when you're winning, the objects in motion, they stay in motion. That was a scenario.
Good stuff. All right, Andy, let's get this party going. Carlos Alcaraz, the two-time defending champion here in Madrid, took the title in 2022, becoming the first player to beat Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic at the same clay court event. And then he backed it up last year, winning his fourth Masters 1000 trophy. So Alcaraz can become the first player in tournament history to pull off a three-peat. The final coming on his 21st birthday. Alcaraz has won 11 straight matches in Madrid, Andy. Didn't play Monte Carlo or Barcelona due to injury. Looked good against Alexander Shevchenko.
Yeah, the question is never his fluency on this surface or with that beautiful drop shot that we saw first here. Or, you know, for even coming in and playing that drop shot. But it's all about his arm, right? You see this him totally sleeved up. Is that going to be healthy? Pulling out of Monte Carlo was a bit of a surprise. Seems like he's fit and ready and has officially inserted himself into the clay court season and the Roland Garros conversation. Light air in Indian Wells. We've seen what that's done for him. Light air here in Madrid. I'm sensing a trend. That is disgusting what he just did right there. Everyone should go take a shower. That was absolute filth what he was able to do with that drop shot on the run there. And at this point, crossing T's, dotting I's. He looked good out of the gates, Steve.
All right, look at what the kid has done. 24 winners in this match, just two for his opponent. Won 11 of 12 points at net. But now 12 of 12 wins in a row in Madrid. Looking to become the first ever to go back to back to back. Highest winning percentage in tournament history at 13-1. Prakash asked him about the injury after.
How was the forearm? It didn't look like it bothered you at all today.
Yeah, I mean, this it was something that I was worried about before the match, if I'm going to feel it or not, and it was almost perfect. Yeah, and on the court, at the end of the first set, let's say, I tried to forget it a little bit, but, you know, it's difficult to do it. But anyways, my forehand works pretty well today. I'm really happy with the way that I hit my forehand, my shots in general, and really happy to be back in the competitions and to be back here in Madrid.
Big win for Carlos Alcaraz, and he got it done really impressively. What was your biggest takeaway?
The biggest takeaway was good health, right? That's what we've been concerned with, not able to make it to the starting line in Monte Carlo and Barcelona. He's had a really nice kind of sunshine double, right? Won Indian Wells. It looked like he was maturing. Dimitrov bum-rushed him in Miami. I mean, Grigor played incredibly well, so put that one to the side. But with wins over Zverev, Sinner, and Medvedev in Indian Wells, was really looking forward to seeing him get on the dirt early this season. So now we're just kind of getting started. It's a tournament he obviously loves. He plays well at home here. So this is good for him to get off to the good foot, but we'll need a little bit more data on the dirt from him before we can kind of say fully he's back and running.
Yeah, number one thing is health. Like Jim mentioned, listen, he showed the strop shot. He showed the movement. He showed that he could unload on the forehand, which was a good sign. The serve looked a little bit different in a good way. You know, listen, we're not worried about him if he finds his feet and if he has matches underneath him. We're only worried about his arm and if he'll be okay and if he has his health.
Looking like a superhero with that arm sleeve, though, was Carlos Alcaraz, another two-time champ in action today. This is Sasha Zverev winning his second title in Madrid back in 2021. He beat Nadal in the quarters, Berrettini in the final. Zverev has never lost before the fourth round in Madrid. His most successful Masters 1000 event, taking on Borna Coric, Jim, for the seventh time. Tied at three wins apiece, but this is their first meeting on clay.
That's it. And Zverev was very good in this match. We always expect him to serve well, and he did again. 70% first serves in play. He'd secure the break here in the seventh game, and he'd really step on the pedal from there. For a guy who's playing his first match of the tournament, he looked like he had a few matches under his belt, swinging very confidently into the corners, very few ground strokes into the center of the court from Zverev all match long. So this is a match that can cause him trouble, as you pointed out. 3-3 head-to-head, but here this was no contest. Coric's forehand still can confound, and it certainly was problems for him in that department. So Zverev got the early break in the second set, and he would run it out from there. These are great conditions for him, right? He's able to play his defense and grind it out, and he's got great movement to go, but his serve gets so much value in the altitude. So nothing but confidence and a great start for the German here in Madrid.
Yeah, five aces, didn't face a break point, won nearly 75% of points on his serve. He'll get Denis Shapovalov next. Meantime, Holger Rune looking to complete the trifecta of clay court Masters finals. Tough match, though, against Mariano Navone. This guy, career-high 41, Jim. Already made two finals this year.
Yeah, he's been a revelation on the dirt, has Navone, the Argentine. And while it was smooth sailing for Zverev, this was pure chaos in this court. This was amazing. The energy in the crowd was awesome. Navone had a chance to serve it out. He breaks for 6-5, and then he double faults when he's up 30-15 to give Rune break points, and then look at this back end. Whoops! Not even close. So the tension got to him. Totally understandable. He never even played a player ranked this high before he played Rune. So he had a chance, and he blinked, and Rune made him pay. Played a great tiebreaker. And then the third set, Rune had 5-1, but it wasn't over yet. A great comeback from Navone. He got the crowd into it. This was revving. This was a third match point. They had a couple of incredible match points. Go look those up online. They were too long to include in the highlight. That's how great they were. But Rune with a great escape, and is that what he needs to really get his clay court season moving? Been okay so far, but this is a guy who can do damage on the surface.
To the women we go. Elena Rybakina leads the tour in singles titles, finals, match wins, aces. Andy took all that into her match against Lucia Bronzetti.
That's right. It was like me in high school, Steve. No one wanted to see me on the other side. I'll tell you that much right now. And Rybakina just going to work here. Absolutely taking it to it. Hasn't missed a step. Obviously, since Stuttgart taking out Świątek. Great start here in Madrid. Good conditions for her. Ball flies through the air. That serve should really get through the court very well. But she is match tough right now. As you mentioned, the four titles on the year. The match win after match win after match win. Even in Miami when she didn't have her best stuff. Found a way to make final there. And if she starts hitting these ridiculous drop shots, I don't know where you go. I don't know what you do. Rybakina looked fantastic. And per usual, such enthusiasm with the win.
Since the start of 2020, joins Świątek and Halep as the only women to win 13 in a row on clay. How about Aryna Sabalenka beginning her title defense against Magda Linette? Sabalenka has only won back-to-back matches once, Andy, since taking the Aussie Open title.
Yeah, but she did take the Aussie Open title, looking to find her footing and get back into the groove. I thought overall her game planning looked good. She was playing full bully ball from the finish, but when you haven't been winning a ton of matches, you kind of have to work for it a little bit more. Linette hitting a great passing shot here. Kept around, stayed around. You always felt like the match, like most of them for Sabalenka, was on her racket. Holding there, you can see the composure there at the end, and then it hits a good return down the middle here, creates a little bit of space, gets a little bit lucky, which is welcome, and Linette says, no, absolutely not. Sabalenka, full head of steam, yells at everyone, moving on.
Sabalenka, the only one of the top four seeds to drop a set, but survives into the next round. Could tie Petra Kvitova with a record third title in Madrid. Some other scores from the Madrid Open today. Andre Rublev, Hubie Hurkacz, both getting wins. Hurkacz has his second straight against Jack Draper in a couple events. Shelby Rogers goes down, and Barbora Krejcikova gets upset by Jacqueline Christiane, who has had a nice start to the clay court season. Much more still to come here on TC Live. How did the seeded American stars look on day four? Highlights from the top-ranked American man and the woman with the longest win streak in the game. Plus, our best of the best crew has been monitoring all of today's matches to pick our hot shot of the day. See if your favorite player took that top honor.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Britta Merwin, and here's tomorrow's Madrid Open forecast in Madrid, Spain. Cloudy skies, but temperatures will be in the mid-60s, maybe even a break of sunshine. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream it from your favorite connected TV device.
All right, thanks so much. We've got you covered on T2 coming up tomorrow. Matches starting at 5 a.m. Eastern. Some good ones. How about Sloane Stephens? She is on a major streak right now, taking on Maria Sakkari. Big foe in action. Emma Navarro, a top 20 seed against Beatrice Haddad-Maia. And then Maddie Keys taking on Ludmila Samsonova. That leads straight into second serve on T2, 8 a.m. Eastern. Some incredible guests, both in studio and out. They had Larry Fitzgerald, NFL superstar, on the show today. They're joining the crew for all the fun and games. Hall of Famer Tracy Austin back in between Nick Monroe and Jeff Chisover to take you through the action. Back to Madrid we go. How about the 19-year-old American, Robin Montgomery, with the biggest win of her career. Had four match points, up 5-2 in the third against Katie Bolter. It got back to 5-4, but Montgomery closed it out. Her second top 30 win. First time to the third round at a 1,000 level event, and you see what it means. Yeah, she's another one of those products from the JTCC in Maryland. Robin Montgomery will take on Aryna Sabalenka in the next round. Meantime, the match we just saw, the hottest player on the WTA back on court, Jim. Danielle Collins bringing that career-high 13-match winning streak to Madrid, taking on Olga Danilovic.
But Danilovic came out firing, though. This lefty from Serbia, she partnered Djokovic at United Cup, and she was strong. She got off on the good foot, took the first set, and Danielle Collins got her emotions engaged. Not sure what that shot was, but Danielle took advantage of it and eventually would send this match into a third set, the confidence kicking in. And you're thinking, well, you know, this is looking pretty good for Collins. She's going to run away with it, right? Not so fast. They went into a third set tiebreaker. Some breaks were traded late in the set. Drama here. Lots of match points for Collins. I think she had 6-3 in the breaker. Couldn't get it. But what about that backhand to set up the match point? And she would finally, on the sixth match point, have her way with a line-ripping forehand saying, yes, baby, let's go. A lot of the fans not loving the Danimal style, but it doesn't matter.
She's got nothing but love for them, Jim.
She's sending them smoke.
That's 14 in a row for Danielle Collins. How about the top-ranked American man, Taylor Fritz, hoping to hold off Ben Shelton and Tommy Paul for that spot, starting Madrid against Luciano Dardari.
I had a good run up to the finals last week in Munich, so some confidence on the clay for Taylor Fritz. Dardari, though, you know, pushed him. Dardari had beaten Gael Monfils in the opening round, so he had a little bit of momentum, but Fritz used that big forehand to great effect and was able to really kind of run roughshod in the second set. Dardari, though, he's someone to watch. That's going to be a hot shot. That's got to be. That was ridiculous. He was like a bullfighter on this thing. Look at this thing. That was an absolute wizard of a shot. I don't even know if that makes sense in English, but I hope it does in Spanish. Anyway, here's match point, and Fritz closed it out with authority. Some big aces to knock it down, so the number one American looking strong out there today.
Yeah, great serving day. That was his ninth ace. Won nearly 80% of the points on serve. Also broke twice. Fritzy is advancing. The aforementioned Tommy Paul playing his first match since suffering that ankle injury in Miami. Andy taking on Lucas Klein.
Yeah, it's good to see Tommy back and healthy. And fitness certainly tested with a straight one out of the gates. Clay, a tough surface to come back on when you are worried about that angle. Klein takes the first set with a great backhand that you saw there. But Tommy Paul has become such a good competitor. Settles in, knows what to do on clay. Former junior champion at Roland Garros. You see him fire that ball against the movement up the line. And from that second set on, you felt like Tommy was getting what he wanted out of most of the points. Here doesn't get enough credit for his transition game as well, which is on full display to help get that break and then serving it out. This was a gutsy win by Tommy Paul. This is the kind of things that can help you extend tournaments.
Yeah, good stuff. Saved all the break points that he faced in the match, looking healthy. Actually told Prakash after he was happy to place three sets because he had more time to find his groove. How did he look to you for that first match since Miami?
I mean, that's tricky to get back in there and to trust your ankle also on a court that can sometimes cause problems for players with the slippery footing. And it's a little more slippery when you play altitude clay. So that's a great sign for him that he was able to move comfortably and confidently out there. What I'm going to be really looking for Tommy in this clay court season, is he going to continue to use that all-court skill that he showed us so dramatically in Indian Wells, getting into the net, not just serving volleys, but also second serve returns, following that and making things uncomfortable. You got to remember, Tommy is one of the slowest ball strikers in the men's top 50. Doesn't hit the ball hard off the forehand or the backhand, but he's one of the better movers as well, and certainly getting better at the net. So can he bring that to bear on the clay? We know he's had success in the juniors. Does he have it now in the pros? Let's hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. He also told Prakash that having that 2 weeks of a training block was big for him. Normally he goes to Houston, Andy, or maybe he'll go to Monte Carlo. Instead, he had time to kind of get set, get ready to go on the clay, was able to do that. And you both brought up the transition game. How successful can he be using that on the red clay?
Well, he has to. As Jim said, his ball speed isn't the same as a lot of the guys he's playing against. Not to say he can't unleash it, just his average ball speed. He likes to find the slots with control, has shorter backswings, needs to mix it up on the clay, because if he becomes too predictable, guys can bully ball a little bit against him. But like Jim says, when you have variety like that, you should use it. You know, doesn't matter what the surface is. It's a little bit tougher and trickier to kind of pick and choose your spots, but that's something, you know, he is fluent on the surface. He plays well. He slides well. I'd like to see it.
Yeah, he uses that so well, been so precise on the volleys. Also bought himself a boat to go fishing. Can potentially reel in that top-ranked American
spot.
Some
people spend money on sports psychologists. Some people buy boats for the same thing. Whatever gets you in your place, right?
That's right. His happy place on the water, fishing. When we come back, Yannick Sinner, speaking of fishing, he is fishing for that number one spot sooner than you might think. We'll show you the math. We'll even do the math for you next.
For the first time in his career. It's victory for Jannik Sinner in Rotterdam. It's 15 wins in a row.
South Florida belongs to Jannik Sinner, as will the world one day.
Ridiculous from Sinner.
It's a work of art.
Winner, winner, Sinner, dinner. It's all he's been doing this year. 25-2 in 2024. And look at these numbers. Novak Djokovic not playing Madrid this year. So if Jannik Sinner were to raise the trophy, he would move within 330 points of that top spot with Rome still to come. Some might say he is playing like the number one player in the world already this season. Andy, what do you think? I mean, he certainly leads the race right now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, with the way that he's been playing over the last 6 months, it feels like a matter of when, not if. You know, even Novak has said he's been the best player in the world for the last 6 months. Carlos, Medvedev, we're all able to acknowledge the reality of the last half year. The only issue is that it's a 12-month cycle, and Novak won 3 out of 4 slams last year. But the way he's been playing, it feels like he skipped a step, right? He got himself into position in that top five. and then kind of skip the step where he was supposed to spend a little time before he got to number one. The guy's he's in a hurry now.
I think a lot of that also, Andy, has to do with the Novak lack of playing, where he's really being very choosy with his schedule. So Novak not adding on to his tally. It's clear that if you look at the last majors, that Novak has been the man. But if you look in the last 6 months since Beijing, Sinner unquestionably the best player. And that's going to catch up on the count on the computer here very soon, because Sinner, he lost early in Rome, only got to the fourth round there, and he lost in the second round of Roland Garros, where we know Novak, he's won everything basically from starting from Roland Garros. He's going to be defending a slew of points. Should I look to that camera now? Is that what you guys are doing? Okay, I'll do that, Steve. I'm following the cues here.
Yeah.
But we're all going to follow the computer shifting to Sinner being number one unless he gets injured. That's really the only thing that I could see stopping him from being number one at the very least by the end of Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean, he's been adding to his game every single event. Andy, let's take a look at the road to a potential title and 330 points behind Novak Djokovic. What do you think are his, you know, biggest challenges? You got Casper Ruud potentially in the quarterfinals. We know how he plays so well on the clay. And then, of course, Carlos Alcaraz.
Yeah, he's playing so well that he's gotten to the point where it's this kind of elite look at any draw where you're going, there are great players right ahead of him. Sonego can play on clay. Thompson, always a tough out. Khachanov, and you feel like he's just going to get through him. Even someone like Ruud, who has been in form with a final in Monte Carlo and a win in Barcelona, I'm not sure that I would bet on Ruud against Sinner right now. So that's the kind of level that he's established. And to kind of piggyback on Jim's point about Novak sitting out, yes, and Sinner's won three out of the last four when Novak has been playing. That matters a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, head-to-head.
No, the head-to-head's clear.
Sinner's taking the advantage.
But Novak hasn't added points, it was the point I was making.
Totally.
No question the last 6 months that Sinner's been the best player, but Novak has allowed that lead to shrink because he hasn't been as active, choosing not to play in Miami, for example.
He keeps saying, I want to get better. I want to improve things in my game, Sinner. What can he add in this red clay court season?
I think it's just continuing with the good shot selection that he's been showing on the hard courts here. It's about being patient and still using all the assets. His serve is better. Like this time last year, he had a different service motion. He changed to the step-up service motion after he lost in the second round of Roland Garros. This will be the first time he's playing this clay court season with a new and improved serve. So he should get more value there, more first ball forehands if he's not finishing points with the first serve. So he's going to have a lot to like, you would think. Well, we'll see if he can kind of get it cranked up here in Madrid.
Yeah, first time as a Masters 1000 top seed, Andy. So a little added pressure as well, potentially, on Sinner?
I don't know. I don't think he's probably too concerned about that. And if he's worried about being in the top spot in a draw, he's going to have to get over that very quickly because he's going to be there a lot moving forward.
Starts Saturday against Lorenzo Sonego. We'll see how it happens, and it'll all go down right here on Tennis Channel. Meantime, inside the social net, Grigor Dimitrov, the first subject of a new Tennis.com series titled Open Up, a Player Portrait. This is a year-long series that dives into the minds of some of tennis's most notable players, including Gael Monfils, Alex de Minaur, Mira Andreeva, many, many more. Matt Fitzgerald writes about Dimitrov. You can find it online right now. What do you think, Jim, about his rise back to the top 10 this year?
I think it's been fantastic to see, first of all, the people who are missing the one-hander in the top 10.
Yeah.
He's back in there, Tsitsipas as well. But this is a guy who is universally beloved within the sport. He's a guy who much was expected from, and he's just continued to go out there and give his best year in and year out. And he's taken his lumps, but here he is now resurgent in his 30s. And who knows if the best is yet to come for Dimitrov. I think a lot of people, including myself, would be cheering for that.
Andy?
Yeah, and also I kind of like this up-close look at someone who's not, you know, at the beginning of their career. I feel like as we get to the end, we tend to be a little bit more honest about everything. And he's so articulate and well-spoken, has nothing to hide at this point. So I think a great kind of look in with a great player.
Great piece by Matt Fitzgerald. You can find that on tennis.com. There will also be video elements to this as well. So looking forward to the entire year. Open Up, inspired, of course, by Andre Agassi's autobiography, Open, which was very telling in its own right. Arguably my favorite book of all time. Saturday on Tennis Channel, here's your schedule. 5 a.m. Eastern, live tennis begins on Tennis Channel and T2. We got Second Serve. The crew brings you all the fun and games at 8 a.m. Eastern. We're back for TC Live at 6 p.m. Eastern and encore coverage from Madrid all night long. Who got that hot shot? We'll find out next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, back with our hot shot of the day, Andy. And you know, when we got the Chuckster in play, hot shots always a good action.
It just fills me with like this rageful jealousy, but also happiness when I see him come in and hit shots like this off of his toes. Just the kind of shot you expect when someone hasn't played competitive tennis in like 3 or 4 weeks, Steve, right? You do. You probably did that today at some point.
At some point. I did not do that today. featured matches coming up for you on a Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern. Oh, these are so good. And we're still early in this two-week event. For more on these matches, let's head back to our desk in Madrid with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel FanDuel desk. P, we're going to see a second meeting between Maria Sakkari and Sloane Stephens. Both are playing great tennis. Who do you give the edge to?
They haven't played for a couple years. First time meeting on clay. I'd actually call it a pretty even match, given the form that Sloane's coming in after winning that title in Rouen last week. And I think I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb. I actually think Sloane might be able to get her over here. She just seems really confident, got a lot of matches under her belt. So I'm going to go with the American.
Rolling with the American. Going to be fun action here on Saturday in Madrid, that's for sure.
I mean, we got two American women on streaks right now, Sloane Stephens and Danielle Collins. That other match that we saw in the featured ones, pretty exciting. Rafa Nadal, Alex de Minaur, a little rematch from Barcelona.
Right. How good is that? 1 week later, and this time Rafa gets that really valuable day off before he plays him, and he had a very light hit against Darwin Blanche. So he's fresh. Hopefully he's ready, because de Minaur is a tough out, right? De Minaur is speedy. He's going to make him play extra shots. But this is a chance, really, I think, for Rafa to really find out where he stands. And last week it was all kind of hopeful. This week this is more like, okay, this is what it is. And I think we're all going to learn a lot tomorrow, and especially Rafa. He's the one who's going to learn the most.
We saw the hot shot of the day, Andy, but the shot of the year right now is a photograph, and it's of Rafa Jr. watching his dad on the court. How special is this? Ella Ling captured this photo.
I just think it's so sweet. It's so much fun. I remember Rafa coming on the tour and the clam diggers and winning, you know, the French Open at 17 years old. And now to see it come full circle, and now he has his son there and his wife, and he's playing in his hometown. And, you know, we don't know if this is going to be his kind of last run or not. And so it has to be that much more special, and also provides probably some perspective to Rafa, someone who has never needed it, has always kind of fully gotten it during his career.
I was just in awe of the dimples. I love Rafa Jr.'s dimples. He's always got his little Babolat racket with him, too. He's clearly a handsome little boy. I wonder why. Both parents are gorgeous. So that's a great feeling. Rafa talked in his press conference about hoping that he would be able to play long enough for his son to remember it. And realizing and saying, probably not going to happen. But that's something that our friend Andre Agassi is so grateful for, that he was able to do in his career and extend it. But he got a little earlier start with the children than him. But still, they have that picture. They'll have these memories to share. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, whether or not he remembers it, the memory is there forever. And that smile, I mean.
Yeah. That dimples, man.
That's
dimples.
Precious.
Who doesn't like dimples?
Adorable stuff. Ben Shelton in action against Thomas Mahatch. Andy, Ben Shelton, who won Houston, the American clay court event. What do you want to see from him on the red clay in Madrid, looking for his first win there?
Yeah, this could be a good service for him. The ball flies. I wouldn't want to return Ben Shelton's kick serve in Madrid. If it gets a little warmer, if I remember correctly, these two had a good match in Indian Wells that Ben Shelton pulled out in a tough three-setter. But I think getting that win in Houston really rights the ship and sets him up well for the clay court season. This would be a good test.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see Ben Shelton ignore the fact that he's playing on a clay court and play hard court aggressive tennis, because when he played at Roland Garros last year, he tried to adapt to the surface too much, and that's a trap that sometimes Americans will fall into, try to serve a little more carefully. He needs to bring the bullets, and Andy's right. This surface is a good one as far as the altitude goes, not the surface necessarily. The altitude is very beneficial for that serve. Bring the American hard court energy to the court. Force the surface to adapt to you, not the other way around.
Bring the energy, bring the heat. You know Benny Shelts is going to do that for sure. That's a wrap on today's edition of TC Live. The action tomorrow going to be amazing with Rafa taking on Alex De Minaur, Ben Shelton, Sloane Stephens, and more. For Jim and Andy, I'm Steve. Thanks so much for watching the show. Danielle Collins giving love to the fans in Madrid. The action continues next.